I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where those treetops listen and children listen.
No matter how bleak things are, at least you don't live with your mother. Welcome to the Movie Ladder Podcast, where we're all about cinematic connections. Each week we're discussing a movie that connects to the movie from the previous week's podcast, or not even the previous week, just the one from a couple days ago. My name is Zach Brooks, and I am joined, as always, by
Brendan Fitzpatrick.
And we've got two guests today. I think the first time we've had two guests in the house. They are two guests, one microphone. We have Jess and Will joining us. Hello, Jess and Will.
Hi. How's making Ladder Podcast history.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We're going to see how many nuts we can fit into this this podcast, right? So just a couple days ago, we talked about Bad Times at the El Royale. And this week, due to a one crazy night, another crazy night connection in a location of choosing, I guess that would be what we'll call it. We will be discussing the 1994 Christmas.
It's fine.
You have a what?
I have a connection theory for later.
All right. Well, for now, we'll call it another crazy night. Yeah. We will be discussing the 1994 Christmas classic, Mixed Nuts, starring Steve Martin. Then at the end of the episode, we'll decide on our movie for next week based on suggestions sent in from you, the listeners, and us, your hosts, and the guests. So, of course, we'll be spoiling Mixed Nuts as we go. So if you've not seen Mixed Nuts and you want to, you can pause this podcast. I do believe Mixed Nuts is streaming on the Roku channel, but does have ads, or you can rent it. And if you want to just jump ahead to see what we're going to be talking about next week, we'll put the timestamp in the description for this podcast so you can do that. Of course, you should pause this podcast and go and watch it, because it is it's the holiday season. Watch this Christmas comedy. And as always, you can submit your feedback at LadderMovie on Twitter. And you follow us on Letterboxd at LadderMovie, and you can email us themovieladder@gmail.com. Jess and Will, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, so really excited. I had never seen this movie before.
And I had seen it before.
Yeah, so it was a nice mix. And I love Christmas movies, so I'm surprised I hadn't watched it. Yeah.
What is your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, it's like so tough. That's like Sophie's choice. If I'm going for like a straight up comedy, then I would probably choose Elf. But if I'm going for like a Christmas classic, I will go for A Christmas Story every time.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about you, Will?
I'm just stealing my answers over here.
Well, you like Christmas Vacation more than I do.
Eh, it's fine.
You always want to watch it.
We hadn't watched it in like 2 years, so
we watched it. We definitely watched it last year.
We did not watch it last year.
Sounds like you got to watch it tomorrow.
We already watched it. I'm not watching it again.
To put something else out in there, like Home Alone's always great.
Yes,
love Home Alone. Elf always a favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. So I'm up for any
Christmas comedy, really. Yeah.
What about It's a Wonderful Life? How does that fall?
I like
no.
it. She does not.
I don't.
Oh, wow.
I don't like movies where I'm like sad for 90% of them.
She doesn't like what she calls old movies, which is anything before the 90s.
That's true. I'm not a big fan of like more slapsticky humor or anything like the old timey jokes. Yeah. Not as much my thing. So really,
you're offending
like,
all of our boomer listeners.
I am. Anything like Chevy Chase does, generally, I'm like not a big fan of.
Meanwhile, you have a community.
I was gonna say,
I don't like Chevy Chase. I've said that many times on the podcast, but I do not like him. Yeah, and I'm like in a famous movie that I don't like that Will loves is Clue. It's not my type of humor. So that's generally where I land among movies. Is like
interesting. You bring up Clue. We will see if that
yes.
Later.
Yeah.
Where do you guys generally land on Christmas Carol adaptations, since we're getting close to Christmas Eve?
I love Christmas Carol.
I like the Muppet one.
The Muppet one is great. Mm-hmm. That's got Michael Caine in it. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's really good. What are some of the other adaptations? I don't think they're really usually on my like annual viewing list.
I mean,
so there's the Mickey's Christmas Carol that airs every year. That's the
okay.
We watched that last year, the Mickey one.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're fine. I'd say they're fine. They're not like my favorite. If I'm going to go like a animated, I would go animated Grinch or like Frosty the Snowman.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the Jim Carrey Grinch more though.
That's good. I watched that for the first time last year. That's he's very creepy looking in that.
He is, but it's way better than the what's his face's Cat in the Hat. That is
Michael Myers.
Also, if anybody hasn't seen Klaus, highly recommend we watch that this year. It came out last year.
It's on Netflix.
It is excellent. It is one of the better animated Christmas movies of all time. Okay. The animation style's interesting. It's like it looks like it should be from the 90s, but it's from 2019. It won a bunch of awards as well.
Mm. So, I don't think I've heard anything about Klaus.
Academy Award.
It's on, I think it's a is it a Netflix original?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a noted Elf hater. I don't think it's very funny. So,
are you a noted Will Ferrell? Will and I have an ongoing argument of like who's funnier, Adam Sandler or Will Ferrell.
Well, I think Adam Sandler's like has more good movies.
I know, but you were like a staunch Ferrell defender for a while.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm on the side of Adam Sandler has had better movies. Will Ferrell was better on SNL. I think that's where I land with the two.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I you know, you old school and Will Ferrell and Wedding Crashers are such high highs.
Yeah, Mother Me Love.
Yeah, Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore are amazing. You know, Adam Sandler doesn't quite hit the highs past that. So
I think the problem is like Adam Sandler has so many movies that are just so trashy that you have to kind of look past that and see the like the hits, you know,
Right, but I think so does Will Ferrell. Like, Will Ferrell has a lot of bad movies that nobody's ever seen that just don't get brought up a lot. But the thing of it is they both have super dramatic roles that they're really well known for, like Stranger Than Fiction for Ferrell and the Paul Thomas Anderson movie for Adam Sandler.
So, yes, Punch Drunk Love.
Punch Drunk Love. There you go. Yes. Thank you.
Unpunch Gems was so good.
Also,
That was so good, but it was also the movie that I never want to see again.
It's fair enough.
I was so anxious the entire time. I don't ever want to watch that movie again.
Yeah. It's one of the last movies we saw in theaters.
Damn.
Yeah. No, when we were sitting there the entire time, I was just like, I don't know if I can sit through this movie because it was long and it was also just like every step he was taking, every move he was making, I was like, please just stop. Like, just do the right thing. Just one of these times,
this
man.
This is how he wins.
Oh man.
Lord. All these movies that could potentially come up on, later on.
Yes, I'm with you on Uncut Gems. I hated it and I was so annoyed and I was so frustrated. I was like, this is too intense for me. I don't like it. This is stupid.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yo, well, you know, speaking of intense Adam Sandler movies, we will be getting into one soon where lots of things go wrong. So the way we like to start, Jess and Wilson, this is your first time on the podcast, is we always like to start with, like, what was the best thing that you watched this week? Now, for Brennan and I, it's a little bit tough because it's only been a couple days since we last recorded, since we did a double this week. But Jess, well, what's the best thing you've watched? Could be this week. It could even be this year since you've never been on.
So I'll go first because I have something very top of mind. I binged the entire series of The Wilds on Amazon Prime this past week. It took me like a day or two because it was so good. That show is for anybody who's a Lost fan or like a Lord of the Flies fan or just wants to see talented women, especially, and brand new faces, like people I've never seen in anything before. Watch The Wilds. It is riveting. They just got renewed for a season two, so you know it's going to come back. And it does a good job kind of where Lost fails in like answering the mysteries as you go versus like leaving you wanting too much. There's too much still on the table. Like I always say, like Lost walked so like other shows could run. And I think this is like a good example of it.
I think that's very fair with Peak TV. I, you know, my eyebrow raised as you said Lost failed, and then you said the second half of your sentence, and I'm there with you. I understand.
Yeah.
I get it. But it's like Lost didn't fail, but it did do what it did. It did what it did, so other shows could do it better. Yeah,
exactly.
I get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess you could say that about Heroes, but that was only one good season of Heroes.
Didn't the writer's strike really also screwed over Heroes from my memory, right?
Right.
I really did.
Yeah.
I just remember loving the first season of Heroes. I was like, this is like Lost, but they tell you all the answers like two episodes later.
Yeah.
A lot of shows went through the writer's strike. Like,
no, I know, but Heroes suffered.
Went through the writer's strike and they ended up.
Right, but didn't Heroes was like season one and then the writer's strike happened in season two or something. Well, so yeah, it was like.
It happened in season one of Breaking Bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good for Breaking Bad.
This storyline would have been way different. Like, spoiler alert for something that didn't happen. They were going to kill off Jesse Pinkman in season
one. Oh, yeah, no, I knew that.
Writer's strike stopped it.
Yeah. What did you watch this week, Will?
I mean, the thing top of mind is probably Mandalorian season two, because that's just been, like, on the top of my mind for the past, like, couple months here.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal. So, if you're a Star Wars fan and you haven't seen it, like, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah,
it's some of the most exciting Star Wars that's really been, like, put to film recently. Like, it's really, really good. It's nice to fall back in love with Star Wars again.
Yeah. Right? Whether you're a super fan or, like, you're getting, like, your family into it, like, there's a cute little baby Yoda.
Yeah, that's
which,
true.
Like, there's no way you don't already know about.
Right.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. I do feel like, I'm glad I've already caught up on Mandalorian because I've seen so much stuff on Twitter that's funny. Like, I guess the window is closed, you know, less than a week later, but.
I mean, I saw stuff, like, the day of.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill spoiled it without spoiling less than 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Happened. He was like, I can't say anything, but.
Yeah.
Like, by even tweeting, you spoiled it.
Yeah. And we're talking about the tweet you spoil for people who don't have Twitter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's hard when a show like that comes out on, like, isn't it coming out, like, midnight? So, like, if you're not watching it at midnight, you're probably going to get spoiled on it.
Yeah,
I remember all day on Friday I had to avoid stuff.
I've been waking up at, like, 7 a.m. every Friday to make sure that I just watched it before work.
Yeah. You know? I would watch it, like, either before work or, like, at work.
Yeah.
Morning on Friday, so. You just don't get spoiled. Like, there's no way to avoid it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless you just avoid social media completely.
Yeah. Right.
All right, well, I'm going to go next because I have a good one to go off of that. Speaking of avoiding spoilers for things, there was a movie that came out, and it was the only movie to come out in theaters this year that I had to desperately avoid spoilers for until I watched it last night, and that was Tenet. And
You watched it.
I watched Tenet last night, yes. And I liked it. It's not my favorite Chris Nolan movie. I think that I would like it a lot more a second time, but it's 2.5 hours long. And which is not 2.5 hours. It's 2.5 very intense hours.
What genre is it?
So it's I don't really want to say much, but it's basically like sci-fi-ish, sort of like a sci-fi James Bond. I think was the best way I'd describe it. It stars John David Washington, who's Denzel Washington's son, who's a baller as well, and he's a Black Klansman. And the more I get away from it, the more I like it. I just, like, I was glad that was not the movie we were discussing this week, because I do not know how I would talk about that movie on a podcast yet. I think I need to
take
it. It would be fun next year if somehow Tenet came up as a connection. I think a second watch of Tenet and trying to talk about it would be good, but I do not know how I would talk about it after a first watch. So, if you like time-bending movies, which is a lot of what Christopher Nolan does.
It's a lot of what we talked about on this podcast in the past, too.
So, you know, his other one that we did, Memento. We also did Insomnia on this podcast. If you like Inception, I would say it's similar to Inception.
That sounds like it's going to mess with your mind.
Yeah, I haven't seen either of those movies. Yeah. I haven't seen Inception nor Tenet.
Oh, you should see Inception.
I've not been spoiled on either of them, which is probably also crazy. Yeah. I know people have talked about
it.
It
would be hard to spoil you on Inception. I still don't understand it completely.
Oh, because it'd be hard to understand what you're even spoiling.
I mean, it's hard to understand probably yourself.
Well, maybe we'll have to put that on our movie wheel.
Yeah, you should watch it. You have a movie wheel.
So we often get into, like, not debates about what we should watch, but we have similar taste in movies, but not we discovered, like, in dating and starting a relationship that, like, there were both large gaps in our, like, movie watching tendencies.
She hasn't seen a lot of, like, classic movies.
Shawshank, like, I just saw for the first Shawshank Redemption. I just saw it for the first time this year. So what we ended up doing was we have a wheel, and half of the wheel is my pick of movies, and half of the wheel are his picks. And then you spin the wheel, and whatever movie it lands on is the next movie you're gonna watch.
Yep.
And then the next spin, so like if my movie got picked, I would only have 9 items, and he would have 10. So it's like a better, because in the beginning I got like 6 movies in a row, and I was like loving life, and he just couldn't win at all.
I invented Pareto system. system.
He invented the veto system. Yes.
Oh,
I don't remember what veto you. I don't remember
where these ideas come from.
Yes, where do they come from? So we should add that to the veto.
It honestly didn't even matter what came up. It was just six in a row, and
you
like,
vetoed it.
I need the veto.
Yeah.
It was the notebook.
Well, because it's it was the notebook.
But it only came up again when we watched it.
Yeah, spoiler alert, most of my side of the wheel is rom-coms because those are pretty much my favorite types of movies.
Fair enough.
I feel like you should take, not listener suggestions, but like we take listener suggestions for the latter. I feel like you should take like recommendations. Like you should have a third of the wheel be recommended by other people. A third be Will's movies and a third be Jess's movies.
I kind of like
to do is post a poll for movies that neither of you have seen and be like, which one should be added to the wheel?
Yeah.
Neither of us have seen.
I know we,
sometimes
before the wheel, we did
that. I haven't seen just because I want to watch them.
Yeah, but most of the time, my movies are movies I've seen and you haven't.
Almost fair enough. Your side of stuff you just like.
The other thing I would recommend is make a personal movie ladder. So this podcast came out of Brendan and I both doing our own movie ladder. So basically, a couple years ago, I saw Bohemian Rhapsody. And then after I saw Bohemian Rhapsody, everybody's like, oh, if you saw Dewey Cox, like Bohemian Rhapsody, it'll ruin Bohemian Rhapsody for you. And I was like, well, I haven't seen Dewey Cox enough. So then I watched Dewey Cox. And then I realized I hadn't watched Walk the Line, which is what Dewey Cox is really parodying. And so then I watched Walk the Line. And then I just kind of went from there and just started connecting movies. Brendan ended up doing one, too, around that same time. And then a year later, we were like, we should do this as a podcast. So
The idea is genius. It really is.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really fun to, especially if you're like drawing very tiny threads from like movie to movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just something, anything can be a connection.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But the problem is for me, it makes me where it's very hard. Like I watched Tenet not as part of my movie ladder. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, the last movie I watched was Ocean's 13. So like, could I say Tenet is a heist film starring an actor who played Batman?
Right.
Like,
right, exactly.
Robert Pattinson in it. Yeah. I was like, I think that could work. Like,
so these movies that you're picking, like, you don't necessarily, you could have seen them in the past. You don't have to have not seen them before.
For both my personal and for the podcast, it's about half and half between you and
Brandon. For my personal letter, I try to watch movies I've never seen before, but I have failed on occasion and watched something like earlier this year, right at the start of the summer, there was no way I could not do Jurassic Park and Jaws in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
So I found a way to do those and put them in my ladder, but then have gone on a 20 movie watch of movies I've never seen before after that. So
it used to be for both of us, like I used to have a very strict rule, like no planning your ladder in advance. You can't go into a movie with the intention of being able to connect to like, I can't be like, okay, I'm going to watch Ocean's 12 so that I can watch Ocean's 13.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've kind of loosened up on the rule.
We've loosened the rules.
I'm like, oh, I really want to watch like Godfather this week.
Yeah, so rules are meant to be broken. Occasionally you have to bend them.
That's another movie you saw for the
first exactly.
I'd never seen Godfather. We'll put that on his wheel and it came up. Yeah.
You're welcome.
It was excellent. I was very annoyed when it came up because I was like, you're going to make all of his movies tended to be like 2.5 hours long and mine were like 1.5 hours. And I'm like, I am getting screwed out of time here. And I actually loved Godfather. I thought it was a really good
movie. So when's Godfather 2? Is that on the wheel now?
That's on the wheel. Yeah.
That like some sequels like immediately like replace like their predecessors. So
sometimes.
Godfather 2 replaced Godfather on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for that one to come up.
Oh yeah,
we had a temporary Christmas wheel though, so we're in that right now.
That's good. Yeah, that's we did sort of
regular wheel.
Temporary Christmas ladder connections on this podcast.
Yeah.
Sort of. It just kind of worked out that way. Mm-hmm. All right, Brendan, you've been waiting a long time. What is the best thing you watched this last couple days?
So I watched a couple of things in the last couple of weeks. But the main thing I watched and the best thing I rewatched. So 2 years ago, 2018, December, third week of December. An incredible movie came out called Into the Spider-Verse. And I sat down and rewatched it 2 days ago for the post-show recaps, Everything is Super podcast. And you know what? It holds up. It's one of the best superhero movies ever made. It's one of the best Spider-Man. It's actually probably the best Spider-Man movie ever made. Into the Spider-Verse, just that movie is 120 minutes of just pure slap. That movie
is that short?
It's great. Yeah. It's less than 2 hours.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's less than 2 hours, and it's phenomenal. It's really, really fun, and I loved it. It's like, it fits everything you want in a superhero movie into a less than 2 hour package, and it's animated, which allows them to just do incredible things with the visuals, which really work, and it holds up 2 years later as one of my favorite superhero movies of all time.
Yeah, so, I remember it being super fun. I'm excited to rewatch that sometime
too. It's great.
Yeah,
we just rewatched that.
Yeah.
It's so good.
We had watched it before, and, like, we never went through the credits. Like, there was a post-credit scene, and we had never seen it before.
So I just found that out today.
Yeah.
I think I stuck around for that, but I cannot remember what it was, so I will have to pay attention. Nice. Yeah, Spider-Verse. I had a feeling Spider-Verse would be your pick this week. So you think it's better than the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies?
I think it is, and nothing taking away from Tom Holland and his performance and the two incredible villain performances between Michael Keaton and Jake Gyllenhaal, both of whom I love. I just think that animation opens up a movie to do a lot more than those two movies could do. So,
I think it'd be tough to try to see which one. I mean, I think you did you say it was your favorite, Will, Into the Spider-Verse is your favorite?
Yeah.
I think I might have the first Tom Holland movie above it just because I was floored by the Michael Keaton review or reveal. I could not believe it. And I think me that just like, and I loved the fact that Zendaya was MJ. Like that was like so good. So I think her as MJ just like killed it for me as well. But I do love Spider-Gwen. I don't know. It's tough. She's badass.
It's really tough. Spider-Gwen's tough. I think her telling Miles, like, you are not allowed to like my haircut is just, like, one of my favorite lines. Like, you're not allowed to like this. Come on.
I feel like Spider-Verse, I don't know if you guys ever went to Universal Studios when you were kids, but they had a Spider-Man ride. Like, they probably started around the... probably around the time when the movies started coming out. And when you were on that ride, you like encountered all of these Spider-Man villains throughout it. And I feel like the Spider-Verse movie reminds me a lot of the Spider-Man ride.
I think that's her.
Did we go on that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
They took it down if you went recently.
We went last year.
There's a different one then.
Oh, okay.
I think they replaced it with Simpsons ride maybe or
I hated that ride if that's the one I'm thinking of.
They have there's definitely a Spider-Man ride still there because we went on it last year. We went to Universal in November and like it's just like you ride around on the thing. It's not a very intense ride.
Oh, okay.
So the one that you because you wear 3D glasses on this one.
Oh, then I did not like it.
Yeah.
Can guarantee I did not like it.
Oh, you didn't even go on it was the thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I get very bad motion sickness with anything where it's using like 3D effects or the screens. I could go on roller coasters all day, but I cannot look at screens.
That's why you didn't remember it.
Yeah, so I didn't go on it. You guys went on it. I didn't. Yeah, anyway.
Well, I'm glad to hear it was at least was still there last year. Maybe they'll bring it back. So, all right. Well, with that, I don't have any good way to transition us over to Mixed Nuts, but... we're going to start talking about Mixed Nuts. It is from 1994. And stars Steve Martin, among others. Great cast, I think. And it did come out right around Christmas time. Notably, this movie has a 10% on Rotten Tomatoes. I like this movie. I've had this movie on my Christmas list for a while, although it's been a couple years since I've seen it. I also noted that I think the movie made back its budget in the box office, but it was a bomb when it first came out. It debuted at number 12 in the box office in 1994, and it came out the weekend before Christmas. And a Christmas movie starring Steve Martin came out the weekend before Christmas and debuted at number 12 in the box office. So did not do well despite the cast and theme. So, also, it's got Madeline Kahn in it, Juliette Lewis, Adam Sandler. This is probably one of the first Adam Sandler roles. And it is the first Liev Schreiber role as well. So, Liev Schreiber.
I believe it's the same year as Sandler in Airheads.
Okay.
Yeah.
And What year was Billy Madison? Was that was
that's a year later.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because I feel like Billy Madison was when everybody first started. Like that's what everybody thinks is Adam Sandler's first movie, but actually he's a couple before that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Will, you had seen this movie before, correct? And Jess, this was your first time.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Jess. Why don't you lead us off then? What is your initial thoughts on Mixed Nuts having
seen? So I came in with decently high expectations. Reason being, Steve Martin's a big name. And on top of that, I have seen when you're scrolling through Netflix looking for something to watch, this movie has popped up for me every year. And I don't know if it's because it's a holiday movie or what, but I've always seen it and I've never watched it. And then Will's oh yeah, there's a lot of famous faces. And I looked through the cast list and I was wow, there's a lot of famous people. I know a lot of these people. It's going to be a decent movie. And then we watched the movie and I was what is happening? This one is it was fine in the beginning. I will say that I found most of the characters to be very unlikable to varying degrees.
Yeah.
And I think it's mostly intended that way. I think you are supposed to like Catherine, but she drove me absolutely crazy. Yeah. And then we get to the point where Leif Schreiber, Chris is his character's name, comes in and I was ooh, it's aging itself. Ooh, it's very much aging itself. This is bad. Where's the abort mission here? that part was bad. And I overall, it had some funny moments. I have to say my favorite character is Mrs. Munchnik. I don't know if this is everybody's pick, but her being in the elevator.
Oh,
that is the funniest part of this movie.
That is the best part of this movie that has aged the best.
Pulling out things and scream, and her scream not a normal person's scream. I don't know how to describe it, but it's not how I would scream if I was stuck in an elevator. So I loved her, but I just thought the movie was, I was and this is a Christmas movie. Cause there's a fruitcake. Obviously there's Christmas elements, but I'm just what are we watching? There's a suicide hotline and what is that happening? And there's a serial killer on the loose. And,
they did the Scranton Strangler before the Scranton Strangler.
Yes, they did. They did. So overall, I would say I liked it in that I thought it was a weird, different movie to watch. Will this be added to my annual Christmas movie list? Absolutely not. It will not.
But what about The Wheel? Will it be added to The Wheel?
No. I've seen enough.
All right. Well, what about you? Did you find it more endearing than Justin?
Maybe a little bit. I think it has its moments where it's really funny and it has its moments where it's ugh.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for a Christmas movie to get you in the spirit of Christmas, I wouldn't call this that. It doesn't really do that at all, really. Mm-hmm. It tries to at the very end, be all Christmassy and there.
It has a happy ending. So yeah, I guess it has that going for it, that Christmas element.
It ends on a good note. But,
and I do think part of that might be because it takes place on Venice Beach. Yeah. So it's not, it's not Chicago or,
New York.
It's New York during Christmas time where it's snowy and white. You're getting LA Christmas instead.
They're going through with him on the bike in the very beginning and you see a snowman made of sand. And
that was funny. Yeah.
A whole bunch of
stuff. See, the thing
is
besides Mrs. Munchnik, your best characters shouldn't be the people that are rollerblading holding a Christmas tree.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's
John Stewart. In the smallest role. Yeah.
John Stewart and Movie Ladder podcast multiple time alum Parker Posey as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So she's come up a few times on this podcast already.
Oh, that's her. I didn't recognize her because she had stuff on her face.
I don't think I would have realized.
We know who that is.
Yeah, I know her. Yeah.
Yeah, she's in a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I will say, I watched this movie with my mom and her boyfriend, and he said, this is one of my new favorite Christmas movies. So he really liked it. So I was glad because I had seen some of the emails come in, and I was like, oh, man, I'm like, people not like this one. Because I like it. When I logged on Letterboxd, I said, I'm all alone here on Mixed Nuts Island because I think, this movie is these people are assholes, but Seinfeld and Curb Enthusiasm, the people are assholes. And it is definitely a different kind of Christmas movie. I think the fact that there's no snow and it's the beach during Christmas. I also stayed on Venice Beach for a wedding a few years ago. And so all the spots where they filmed, it just reminded me a lot of where I stayed. And so I got a little nostalgic for traveling and taking vacations when I watched this and going to the beach. And the cast, I think, too, is why I, the characters might not be great, but I'm a sucker for Steve Martin, like Father of the Bride. Some other movies I'm going to bring up later, sort of Bilko. Like these are, I just really like 90s Steve Martin. And you know, some of the other, I think Madeline Kahn's character, Mrs. Munchnik, always makes you laugh. And I know Adam Sandler, this is Adam Sandler being very Adam Sandler.
I mean, this character is literally his Weekend Update with Kevin Nealon strumming a ukulele character that's like Weekend Update. It's literally that character pulled directly into a movie that it probably wasn't scripted for.
If you're a fan of a fan of Weekend Update, you might like the character just showing up. Like if Stefan just randomly showed up in a Christmas movie now.
Yeah. I actually hadn't seen that version of Adam Sandler in a while, so I actually kind of appreciated that in this movie, and it was like, oh yeah, I haven't seen this version of Adam Sandler in a long time. Now I remember why I liked this version of Adam Sandler. Like, this is cute.
I think that like what you were saying, Zach, too, is like they're all unlikable. I like that the movie leans into how unlikable they are. Like they're not exactly they're not trying to redeem these people for the most part. The only one that like really rubbed me the wrong way was like Catherine is supposed to be this saint, but I just don't find her to be likable at all. I was not rooting for her. She just seems pathetic.
Poor Rita Wilson.
Rita Wilson. Other things. She's married. Isn't she married to Tom Hanks?
Yeah. She's married to the nicest guy in the universe. So.
She's one at life. It doesn't matter what I say about her.
Yeah.
Brendan, what did you think of this movie?
Yeah. So overall, I both enjoyed the watch I had of it last night. I watched it with my mom. My mom bailed about halfway through. She was still laughing. She said she was having a really good time, but wanted to go to bed. So fair enough. I think there are parts that really hold up, and I think I'm right there with you guys that like the first half of this movie is really, really solid with everything with Mrs. Mushnick and the slapstick comedy and the ridiculousness of the fact that these people are working at a suicide hotline on New Year's Eve, but but are so obviously bad at their jobs. Really, really got me, and I found really, really funny. Like they're all not really trying, but are like everything they did was really, really funny, I thought. And then all of a sudden, when you inserted Juliette Lewis and Anthony LaPaglia into the movie and made it a serious, like, melodrama about their relationship is when the movie sort of starts to fall apart. Even though I like both Juliette Lewis and Anthony LaPaglia as actors, I think they're both great. I think that they sort of detract from the ridiculous humor of the movie and make it more. They forced the Christmas melodrama plot that I don't like as much.
I didn't feel like they were they had that much melodrama. I felt like they were the two most unlikable actors.
I think that's also
two most unlikable characters. And you know, Anthony LaPaglia, at first when I saw him, I was like, oh, that must be one of the Baldwin brothers.
That's what
Yeah.
I definitely thought he was a Baldwin. Then I looked up the cast. I was like, oh no.
And do you know who Anthony LaPaglia's brother is though?
Who's his brother?
Yeah, Jonathan LaPaglia.
No kidding.
That's his brother.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's funny. Now I see it. Now that you say that, I do see it.
I knew I had recognized the last name. I didn't connect the dots.
Yeah. No, I do. I think I agree. Like they're the two most unlikable of all of the characters. And like I just don't care much about them. I don't care much about them. I would rather go more into like Mrs. Munchnik and those characters. I did like, so this movie, it's hard to surprise me with movies a lot of the time, especially with like comedies or rom-coms, because they're usually pretty predictable. The point where they decide to disguise the body as a tree, I was like, what is happening? I loved that. I thought that was really
funny. Actually really funny. Yeah,
and I was not prepared for that at all. So I thought, and then as soon as you see the rollerbladers, you know what's coming. Right. And you're like, oh, no. Yeah. Like that was funny.
And
it does have its moments.
Yeah.
And I know it's not Gary Shandling in the tree, but the idea of it being Gary Shandling with limbs glued to him, even if it's not actually him, is really funny.
So ridiculous. Like,
and I do think that that element, the way it ends with them killing the Seaside Strangler, or finding out that they killed the Seaside Strangler, like it does. And I brought up Curb Enthusiasm and Seinfeld earlier, and this movie is not Curb Enthusiasm and Seinfeld, but my favorite thing is when those episodes have things that tie up at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
And they have all the storylines come together. And this had all the storylines come together at the end of the movie. And maybe in, you know, they, not very realistic that, like, that they would just be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. You killed this guy because he's the Seaside Strangler. Here's your money.
Right.
No problem. But,
no problem.
They're asking us to suspend our disbelief at other times anyway. So it's fine.
So I think. Yeah, I don't know if you're supposed to like the characters. I think it's a little bit uneven if you're supposed to like particularly Steve Martin's character in this movie.
He's a terrible boss and a complete ass.
But the thing is he cares about keeping the business open. And not to get rich. He cares about keeping – it's a nonprofit. He cares about, like, helping people. And so I I think he does, and I think that's why he cares so much about them finding out about the eviction notice. But if they made him less likable, it would excuse his behavior a little bit more towards Chris, which, yes, that does not age well. Very problematic. Yeah. But I think that if it's like, yeah, this guy is an asshole and he's acting like an asshole, it kind of tracks a little bit more because you see the way that Adam Sandler's character what is his name? Mr. Capshaw, I think, is Adam Sandler's character. Yeah. Louie and Chris, where they have that interaction, and, you know, like he's very nice, he's very welcoming to Chris, and it's not even brought up, the fact that Chris is transgender, Chris is in women's clothing, as a man in women's clothing. So I think there are problems with the portrayal, but I also think that you can find some areas where, especially for 1994, this movie is not Ace Ventura.
It's not doing what Ace Ventura did with transgender, for sure. But it's also not doing anything to help it, because it's trying to disguise the transgender jokes behind, well, it's just a misunderstanding, so it's not really about him being anti-transgender. He just thinks he's a Seaside Strangler, and that makes it not better. It makes it worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's doubling the script of the movie is doubling the problems in those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the premise, instead of helping it.
Probably Chris and Louie in that one scene.
Yeah, Chris and Louie were really good. Yeah, a good scene.
That was all really good.
Yeah, because you can see that they're actually having just like a genuine conversation. Yeah. Whereas anytime literally any other person is around Chris, it's like awkward for that person, and they're trying to like pretend that this isn't happening. And
the scene where Chris wants to dance with Philip. And Philip is like squirming away. Like, that's all like very cringy to watch.
Yeah.
And the movie tries to play it like he thinks he's a Seaside Strangler, but it's not that at all. You know, it's actually being played for transgender phobia, and that's not cool at all. Like, it's bad.
Yeah, that was particularly like tough to watch. Yeah. I think if you remove that element from the movie, it hasn't aged as poorly. There's still some stuff where it's kind of like, ugh, but that part in particular is really tough to watch now. Especially because forget that whole scene where they're dancing and everything, but Chris calls a suicide hotline and just the thought behind that is even worse, you know? Yeah. And the fact that that's a real thing that happens a lot. Because of transphobia and all of that. And the fact that then, like, again, Philip, for better or for worse, he wants to keep the company going. He wants to keep the nonprofit going. He's horrible at it, by the way. He should never
pick up the phone. That was my problem with it.
Yeah, he's terrible. Yeah. But maybe it's one of those things where he's just a better behind the scenes guy. Leave the phone calls to Catherine, who, as much as I don't like her as a character, she's much better suited to that line of work than he is. Yeah, for better or for worse, he does try to keep the place open. Miss Munchnick has no excuse for anything. She's very bad at everything.
Yeah. Oh, she's fantastic, though.
My favorite, the elevator scene is great, where she drops the fruitcake, and like the running gag throughout the movie of the fruitcake dropping.
Yeah.
That's Fantastic.
It's just like, I mean, it's an overplayed joke that like fruitcake is gross, but I do think it's funny to have that continuing throughout the movie. And I also love her song where she gets the toy and it has the, she's just like, hey, yoo-hoo. Like that part, yeah, it doesn't fail to make me laugh. Like, yeah. I mean, that.
Stuck in the elevator.
Doesn't she have a trumpet?
The elevator song.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all the toys she bought for that like party she was going to.
For
thing,
her yeah. dead husband's sister, I think.
Dead sister's yeah. husband.
Dead sister's husband.
Dead husband's sister.
Dead yeah. husband, yeah. It's not even her dead sister's husband, it's her dead husband's sister. I think that all is really good, and I think this movie too, just when I was watching it, I'm like, yeah, this is like, I can see why people don't like this movie, but to me, just the silliness, just I couldn't not laugh when I was watching some of like the silliness going on, and the outside of the Juliette Lewis and Anthony LaPaglia characters, because they just kind of annoyed me on this watch.
Mm. Yeah, especially when she's shooting the gun. Like, what kind of moron is like, oh, to get the ammunition out of the gun, yeah. I'm going to shoot. I know it's a joke. Yeah.
Well, Jess, you have to empty the gun.
It's so unbelievable to me that I was like, what moron would empty a gun that way?
Yeah, shoot through the ceiling, out the windows, through the door.
Oh, my God. It was, yeah. So, those two were the absolute worst, because it was like him trying to beg for her forgiveness or.
Right.
It was just too much for me. Yeah.
I do also like that the sign says now saving, and they put the numbers, and they have the tape over it. Yeah, used to be a now really serving great. Sign from the yeah. grocery store, but they made it say now saving. Yeah. That was just like a nice little touch. Like,
yeah, some of the smaller moments were really good in the movie. Like in the very beginning with the landlord, when they're talking about getting evicted, and he's like unscrewing light bulbs, turning off the exit sign.
Yeah, I love that. I loved everything Gary Shandling is doing in this movie.
Especially when you know he's going to end up being the seaside scrubber.
Yes.
His weird behavior makes a little bit more sense. Mm-hmm. And I do think, too, like, some of the unevenness of this movie might also be chalked up a little bit to the fact that this is a remake of a French movie.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah, so there's a French movie, and I had the title of it written down, and I can't find it right now. So this was a French movie that followed, like, basically the same plot. And so I think some of the stuff that just kind of comes out of nowhere, it might be because they were just trying too hard to...
make a to one
stick
for
to
one.
The original, yeah.
Right.
So, you know, this movie also was written and directed by Nora Ephron. So you probably know a lot of her other movies. She did You've Got Mail, Sleeps in Seattle, are her two most director-wise, those are her two
most popular ones.
And then When Harry Met Sally, she also wrote that as well.
I mean, she's a bona fide rom-com hit.
When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, she has a lot of famous rom-coms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's a bona fide rom-com hit maker. So for her to make a movie like this is sort of shocking, surprising.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Huh.
It's so kind of the one where, like, you're with the studio and you're like, all right, one for you, three for me.
Exactly.
You let me make these three other movies.
Yeah.
And that's the deal.
Right.
And like, oh, we'll probably make a lot of money because we'll put Steve Martin in there.
But then it
doesn't work out.
Well, like, Juliette Lewis is hot. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think, too, like that, I think that's where some of the smaller flourishes come from. Although I do not think the romance in this movie is that good, considering she's into romantic comedies. Like, I don't really care about Philip and Catherine getting together, even though you know that's
what's
gonna happen. Yeah, it
doesn't really track.
But yeah, you know it's gonna happen, but it's not fun to watch.
Like,
I was happy that Mrs. Munchkinick found love.
Yeah,
that was the best.
That was the true love story.
That was really great.
She's a dog hater.
No,
she falls in love with the dog guy. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
All right, so I wrote down the items in Adam Sandler's song, and I figured I would put our guests on the spot and have you guys answer.
Oh, no. This is the song about Catherine.
Yes, this is he's playing on the ukulele. So, the first is Almond Joy or Milky Way.
Oh.
Which one does he mention?
No, which one do you prefer?
Oh.
Yeah, I knew he mentioned Almond Joy.
I was gonna say, I knew he mentioned both, that's why I was confused.
I definitely prefer Almond Joy.
Yeah.
Almond Joy that.
I would say, if you gave me the options of like a Snickers or an Almond Joy, I'd probably pick a Snickers. But between those two, I would say the Almond Joy as well.
Yeah, I think you got to go with the nut. How about you, Brendan? Almond Joy?
Yeah, I think I'm the Almond Joy. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Yeah. The next one, do you sleep facing the left or the right?
I flip back and forth all night.
Yeah. Mostly the left.
I think you're on your stomach more than anything, so.
Whatever.
I guess which way your head faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I usually start facing the right, but I think I wake up facing the left usually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm mostly a right, but I tend to flip a lot overnight.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
All right, the next one. Did E.T. make you cry?
No.
No.
I mean, not as an adult. No. Probably when I was a child. Sure.
Yeah.
It didn't make me cry.
Yeah, it scared me when I was
It doesn't age as well as Jurassic Park does.
No.
No.
Oh, man. I just watched E.T. this year again. I thought it was great.
We went to the drive-in. We saw E.T. and Jurassic Park at the drive-in back
Yeah, the summer. Yeah. Oh,
wow. That was good.
It was a really great, like, honestly, if you could see Jurassic Park at a drive-in, it's a wonderful experience.
Oh, yeah.
That's a perfect drive-in movie.
Because you're sitting there, especially if you have, like, a cup of water on the windshield.
Dude, yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She had one of those Jeeps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The next one, this is just for Jess and Will. Do you close your eyes when you go in for a kiss?
this is like a famous argument between Will and I, actually.
Yeah, because, like,
because I don't always, and it creeps
really
him out.
I think it's weird to not.
And sometimes, like, what's the point? If it's a quick kiss, why do I have to close my eyes for it? I know where your face is.
Because it's weird.
It's not that. It's only weird if you open your eyes and we're staring at each other.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Which happened.
We need to hire Adam Sandler to come play music for you guys. And then the last one that I wrote down, I'm not sure if it was the last one he did, but would you object to your child getting a bris? It's a great Jewish joke. I'm not for that.
No, I think that's a normal thing to happen. I don't know if we need official bris, though. They could just get the, you know, snippety snip in the hospital.
Yeah, it's usually just for Jewish people.
We're not Jewish, so yeah, I don't know that we would do a full bris. Yeah. Let's have
Probably
a big
need off here. So,
just wanted everyone to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Big event.
I think that's like classic Adam Sandler to work like a Jewish reference into his song.
I mean, I'm sure that was like, he was like, all right, I'll do all this other stuff, but I'm putting this in there too.
Yeah.
I'll do the Christmas. Yeah. We're mentioning Hanukkah.
All right. Anything else that you guys want to mention before we get into feedback and connections? Brendan, do you have anything else?
No. No, I'm good.
Right. Justin, Will, anything else you want to get in there about this movie?
No. I don't think so. The only thing I made a note of was, like, this is the first movie that made me think of fruitcakes for the first time in a long while. Because I'm like, does anybody actually gift anybody a fruitcake?
Yeah, for sure. Like, ever since it became a movie or TV show trope that fruitcake is awful, people have stopped giving it to each other.
Yeah.
So it's sort of one of those ways that, like, pop culture has influenced real life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I've seen or heard of a fruitcake in 10 years.
Yeah, since, like, a 90s movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might have tried one once, maybe, in my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
I feel like fruitcake is ripe for a PR rebrand.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that would have been a good one. So
make some
would have been a good one.
Like fruitcake.
Gluten free. Like,
yeah.
I think you need to put some chocolate in it. I think that's the key.
We're gonna sell it at Trader Joe's.
Yes,
call it berry bread.
Berry bread at Trader
berry
Joe's.
Berry bread.
TJ's berry bread.
Yeah.
TJ's BB.
All right. Let's get into feedback that we got in. So, Brendan, we'll do what we did last time. I think that worked out well, where we kind of ping-ponged back and forth on feedback. So I'll start, leading off with Jeff, who said he was offended that you tried to skip his comment last week.
Well, you know what? Jeff can have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
There you go. All right. Jeff was not happy with this movie. He said, what a disappointment this movie was. After seeing the all-star cast and knowing that it had a rock-solid director, this is a comedy movie that tried so hard to be funny, but never quite got there. The story itself was contrived and forced. The gags fell flat, and they never took advantage of this great cast. Almost felt like several mediocre SNL sketches that were weaved together to make a movie. Adam Sandler played his goofy singing character. Steve Martin seemed to play a combination of the jerk and one wild and crazy guy. It just wasn't funny. I was happy when it ended. I give it 1.5 stars because it was disappointing with the great cast. So,
damn.
Yeah. I knew Jeff was not a fan before I watched it. I was like, oh, no, it didn't hold up for Jeff. This is his first episode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not too surprising. I mean, I kind of get where Jeff is coming from. This movie doesn't hold up for the promise of its premise with a lot of the cast and what this movie was going for. But, Stefan says, Liev Schreiber was good, but that's the only positive thing I can say. 1 out of 5. Thanks, guys. Happy holidays. So, thank you, Stefan.
We can't hit home runs every time.
Yeah, we cannot hit home runs every time.
All right, speaking of home runs, so before Kyle gets into his feedback on Mixed Nuts, he sent in some late Bad Times of the El Royale feedback, which I think we said we were going to do at the beginning of this episode, and we just kind of forgot.
Yeah, well,
have you guys seen Bad Times of the El Royale, Jess and Will?
I have not.
I know. I'm not.
That's a really fun video. Yeah, it's very fun. Okay. It's got some Lost elements to it as well. I think. It's fun.
Yeah.
So he said, had you been doing connections, I'd have said Cabin in the Woods or Identity, which is the 2003 John Cusack thriller about 10 strangers stranded in a Nevada motel during the rainstorm and start getting killed off. Identity is one that we've brought up a bunch on this podcast, and I think Brendan and I both realized after we talked about Bad Times, though, right, we're like, oh, we definitely should have brought up
Identity. We should have talked about Identity. Yeah, we didn't.
The other movie, if we would have done connections off of the last episode that I would have suggested, was a movie called Standoff at Sparrow Creek. That's supposed to be another one of those, like, a bunch of people stuck in a... That's not the movie we were thinking of. I still do not know what movie
that
was. That's the movie I wish I would have... We didn't do suggestions for this. All right, but let's get into Mixed Nuts from Kyle. He said, I really dislike Steve Martin's acting. I've not really liked him in anything but Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Whoa!
I find his pratfalls and goofy gestures and other weird shtick unfunny, even going back to his Wild and Crazy Guy SNL days. Adam Sandler is painfully grating. And this is basically just an amalgam. What is that word?
Amalgamation.
It just says amalgam of his most annoying SNL characters. I really dislike the poking fun at mental health and the punchline of the guy in the phone booth shooting himself in the head, having lost a friend to that form of suicide. I find it especially tasteless. I shouldn't laugh, but I do think like that the click it I thought was kind of funny, but it's a tasteless joke. Yeah.
That scene was so terrible.
It's messed up.
There's a lot of tasteless jokes.
I don't know. I maybe I'm going to hell. I thought that was funny.
You're probably going to hell anyway. Yeah.
He said, "While I didn't find the J. Moore William Fichtner humor in Go to be predicated on gay panic, the Liev Schreiber, Steve Martin stuff is textbook gay panic, especially that dance scene where it becomes uncomfortable, something that can't be forgiven away just because Adam Sandler's character becomes interested in Chris." And he did send me a caveat later. He said he wanted to know, he did use the term gay panic, but they don't make it clear if Chris is a gay man dressed as a woman or a transgender woman or what. So gay panic might not be technically the right term, but just transphobia, I guess.
We appreciate that. I think the correct term is transphobia at this point.
I wanted to add that caveat in there as well. So.
Absolutely.
But he says, focusing on the good, I liked Madeline. I think Madeline Kahn was a strong character, and what a loss to lose her to ovarian cancer a couple years later. I did not realize that. Her scene at the door talking to who she thinks is the Seaside Strangler is pretty funny, although it also contains gay panic humor when she's threatened to have a hairy man make the strangler his girlfriend in prison. Yep, that is true. And in this scene when she's talking about how she isn't his type, but then trails off into how she is attractive, it reminds me a lot of Harold's mother filling out his dating application for him and just trailing off into talking to herself. I also think the Seaside Strangler payoff was good, better than the Scranton Strangler payoff in the future, that's for sure. Yeah. And seeing Gary Shandling got shot was delightful. So,
nice.
One star for Kyle. So, very low.
Yeah.
Very nice.
All right, Brendan, you want to read Molly's?
Sorry, I'm trying to scroll down and get to it. Okay. Sorry, the document is not working.
All right, I will read Molly's.
Cut this out.
I will read Molly's.
That's fine. I get it. this was a first time watch for me, says Molly. I really enjoyed most of it and found myself laughing out loud a lot. The cast is so good, and I thought the dialogue was hilarious for most of it. The ending really disappointed me, though. I appreciated the movie addressing loneliness, depression, and economic hardship during the holidays with a comedic view, but then everything was wrapped up perfectly for everyone. What was up with that? I guess that's a requirement for holiday movies. I would watch this again for the laughs, but skip the ending. 4 stars from Molly.
So Molly kind of on the opposite end.
Molly is completely opposite of everyone else. So.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm glad that she liked it. I think too, I did say in the last episode, I was like, I'm going to start trying to identify themes in movies. And I think she touches on a lot of them. I also just think like the theme of companionship during the holidays is the main one, and people coming together and new friends coming together.
So. Yeah. And that was something I was going to touch on in my, wrap up when I give my final score, but I have a lot to say with, how this film deals with the themes around the holidays for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Especially this year when people can't be with their family.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. And then Olin sent in and he said, well, that was an appropriately enough mixed bag of a film. The good was pretty much the three female leads who were wonderful. Of course, I always dig on Madeline Kahn, who is a truly great comedic actress. Probably one of my first celebrity crushes. My favorite scene was her superb delivery of a restrained panic when trapped in the elevator. And I struggled to see anyone else pull that off. Rita Wilson and Juliette Lewis were also excellent. Nice to see cameos. Rob Reiner was probably the best of the male crew. Yeah, we didn't talk about Rob Reiner as the veterinarian.
And
when Felix takes the dog tranquilizers.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
That was when I was kind of frustrated with Felix. I was like, come on, you're not acting like a person.
Yeah.
No.
And then the bad Adam Sandler was very irritating, although softened a bit towards the end. I admire that the film was aiming to do. I feel a good farce is as much a pinnacle of cinematic achievement as any highfalutin drama. The pacing of this just felt all wrong, intended to drag a lot. Overall, rating at times wanted to score it a bit higher, but the highest I can push to is a 3.0.
Fair.
So wow. What is that? That gives our listeners a 2.1. So
it's going to give us a 2.1 from the listeners. Wow.
That's got to be our lowest listener rating.
It's one of the lowest listener ratings. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, we don't tend to pick very bad movies. I think the listeners weren't big fans of. I feel like Columbus was kind of low listener rating wise.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Maybe Newsies was low.
Newsies was pretty low from the listeners, but they also didn't have the nostalgia for it that I had, so I helped lift Newsies.
It boosted it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think The Girl also probably was pretty low listener-wise.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
So, all right. Well, Jess and Will, you guys can go first with your ratings. And a brief little summary of how you rate it.
First.
So this movie, like it was entertaining. It dragged a little bit in some parts. I think that the whole Chris situation didn't age poorly, which brought it down for me. This humor is not always like, I would agree with whoever said that Steve Martin humor isn't their humor. I would agree with that. Generally, Steve Martin, he's not one of my favorite actors by any means. Mrs. Munchnick brings it up like a whole star rating because she's so funny in it. And I did like the ending a lot. For that reason, I did give it 2.5 stars.
2.5, just below average.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's fine. I wouldn't rewatch it. I've seen enough of it, but it's not the worst Christmas movie I've ever seen. Yeah. And it did have its funny moments and it did surprise me, which gets more a higher rating from me because it's hard to surprise me, especially with comedies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What about you?
Like obviously it has its problems. I personally like Steve Martin a lot. Like he's in a lot of movies that I really like.
Well, that's your type of humor too. Well, like you love Clue.
A lot more. Well, he's not in Clue.
No, I know, but it's that type of humor. And
speaking of Clue, Madeline Kahn is great.
Yeah.
And I love her character. I like how the movie ends. So I put it at a 2. Like a 2.
I thought you were gonna go higher with the
scale.
You know, the scale does go to 5.
Yeah. All right. Since it's out of five, I for a second it spaced my mind. I thought it was out of four. I'm gonna put it at a 2.5.
Okay.
Yeah. Same rating. I wanted a 50%.
You guys are, this is why you guys are married. You have the same
50%.
Same brain.
Yeah.
It's about compromise, you guys.
Yeah.
All right, Brendan, you want to go next?
Yeah, I will. So I think that we've all sort of hit on everything good and bad about this movie as we've talked about it. For a movie that's predicated on people dealing with mental health on a day-to-day basis, I don't think they handle it very well. I think that's actually one of the less great parts of the film, and one of the things that doesn't age very well is how these actors and characters interact with mental health. And then also, you know, that's that, you know, aside from that, the also poorly aging Chris transgender storyline does not go well, aside from the ending with Adam Sandler is actually really sweet and heartfelt, and I really like that part. I think there's some things that really work, as we talked about with the elevator scene and everything in the first 30 minutes or so with them figuring out, you know, trying to get to know these characters with Steve Martin and Madeline Kahn and Rita Wilson. That's all really good. Yeah, if I had to rate this overall, I think it's probably closer to a 2 for me, which is both below the listener average and below Jess and Will. I have a hard time giving it higher than a 2, so I think I'm at a 2 right now. Yeah.
Brendan, do you know what the lowest you've ever given something is?
The last time I gave something a 2 was The Girl. So, yeah.
Well, this was definitely better than The Girl for me, and it'll be on me to carry the flag for this movie. Yeah. So, you know, this movie definitely was not as good as I remembered it, but I still think it just made me smile. It's endearing. It's a quick movie in and out. It all wraps up like a nice episode of Seinfeld and Curb. I like that. There are things that are problematic in it and don't age well, but it's also hard to judge, you know, 2020 standards on 1994 comedy. I think you could find things in Seinfeld that are problematic and don't age well as well.
A lot of shows. Absolutely. Friends. Yeah. A lot of those shows.
True. Yeah. For sure. But if your entire premise is baked around them being a suicide prevention hotline and they're obviously bad at doing that, like that.
Yeah, but I think that the movie shows them as well dealing with issues. I mean, we have the scene in the bathroom with Philip and Catherine where Catherine's having a breakdown. Like, it's not like these are perfect people either. Like, these are flawed people as well.
Right, fair enough.
And so that part doesn't bug me. I think the click it scene, I know it's terrible, but it's like, that's how bad they are at their jobs. That she's like, just click the button, click it. Like, she's so,
right.
So dumb that you tell a guy with a gun to click it.
Yeah.
And it's right. So I don't know, that stuff just, that didn't bother me as much. I think Ace Ventura is a movie that ages much more poorly than this, in terms of the transgender plotline and that.
Mm-hmm.
I also will say, I think the title is great. Mixed Nuts. It has so many meanings in this movie. I am going to ride for Steve Martin, unlike the rest of you. I think he's funny. I think he's great. I love Father of the Bride. I would always recommend
him. Yeah, I like him.
Well, the funny thing is you mentioned Father of the Bride, and that was on our wheel because we had a special wedding wheel when we were close to getting married that we put a lot of wedding movies on there.
I thought that movie was great.
Will maybe watched that, and I absolutely hated it.
I had never seen it.
I hated it because the entire premise pissed me off. The fact that you're supposed to have this like huge, amazing wedding, and the dad is the only one who sees how ridiculous this all is.
Obviously, you would be upset at this point in time by that premise of the film.
In general, yes, of course. In general, that movie just pissed me off.
Even when we were just planning our wedding before
COVID.
Right.
Yeah, yes. It was still stupid.
Yeah.
But even still, it's funny you bring that up because I was such not a fan. And it wasn't not for Steve Martin. It's not Steve Martin's fault I didn't like that movie.
Mm.
But I'd have a hard time picking like a really, really great Steve Martin movie that I absolutely love and adore. Actually, one of them is on my list, but it's not
I don't love and adore him in it, but it's a good movie.
I would recommend Father of the Bride 2. I think that sequel holds up just as well as the original.
I think it actually does. I think it holds up better than the original, actually. I like Father of the Bride 2.
Yeah. I have not watched Father of the Bride 3.
Kind of got retired.
Yeah.
Something we also didn't talk about throughout this podcast so far is I think the music direction / score holds up pretty well. And part of the problem this movie suffers from is it gives up on the Christmas music from the music direction about halfway through. Like it goes for the Home Alone style music underscoring every scene with the Drifter's White Christmas and I'll Be Home for Christmas and all of that stuff.
And the Chipmunks song.
And then it just sort of gives up on all that stuff halfway through.
Yeah.
Whereas it was really getting me, and it was putting me in the Christmas spirit the first half of the film by underscoring it with those songs, and then it just gives up on that. So
yeah,
that's part of
the last 10 minutes where they start singing the song and carrying the body in the tree.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was Christmassy enough throughout with the presents and one crazy night, another crazy night. Our fourth of this month. So I'm going to give it a 3.5. I probably before this watch would have said it was 4 or 4.5, but not as good as I remembered. But I still think it's funny, and I would rewatch this again sometime soon. And I'm sorry to those of you who didn't like it, but I hope that you got something out of watching it. All right, Brendan, what does that average us out to? Do you got that number?
So what was your score? I'm sorry.
I have a 3.5. You have a 2.
So the final score is going to be a 2.5 overall between us and Will and Jess.
Voice
and
of the
listeners.
Yeah.
Voice of the people. So the main connection that I will say this had with Bad Times at the El Royale, which we didn't really talk about, is this movie does kind of deal with what it's like to live in purgatory, which you can also make the case for being the theme of El Royale. So these were both sort of movies about purgatory.
Yeah.
So. I also wrote down as a connection to, and we'll just get into our connections now, as a connection to Bad Night at the El Royale.
I keep wanting to call it Bad Royale.
Yeah. Is just like one crazy night in a place where you would sleep, because this takes place in an apartment and Bad Royale takes place in a hotel. I also wrote down a character wears a wig in the movie. So we did talk about Cynthia Erivo's character wears a wig in Bad Times at El Royale, and Chris wears a wig in this movie. Did you have any other connections specifically to that movie, Brendan?
Not specifically, mostly just the playing of music underneath the other people wanting to celebrate and have a good time, whereas you had Adam Sandler's character playing the ukulele, and you had the constant playing of the jukebox in El Royale. So
we also had a character get shot through a something. Get thought through know, a, we had
yeah.
through a door,
through a, door and, or through a piece of
through a piece of glass. So,
but I think the main thing for me was that both movies could be seen as a version of purgatory, because like A Suicide Hotline is sort of purgatory between you're thinking about ending your life and these people are trying to get you to stay alive and live through the rest of your life. And then El Royale is also purgatory because you're between two places in your life with, as we talked about last week, between life and death, between California and Nevada, et cetera. So,
All right. What about other connections? Justin, well, I know you have the list of movies we've covered. Are there any other connections that stand out for you between Mixed Nuts and anything else that we've covered?
I don't know. Some of these, I have not seen a lot of these in looking through. I mean, obviously, Home Alone, it's a Christmas movie. Mm-hmm.
Yep, so I have that.
That's like the very obvious one for me. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. I assume someone dies.
True. Yep. Yes.
And they try to pretend that she's alive. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. They actually put her in a.
I'm gonna spoil it for you. People die in Happy Death Day also.
Okay. So then, there's that.
Yeah. People dying in a lot of our movies, to be honest.
Yeah. What's wrong with you guys?
In Hamilton, they die.
Yeah.
Wait, well, oh my gosh, Hamilton. Okay, I've been like singing Hamilton songs literally all day.
So a connection to Hamilton that I wrote down was I wrote down singing and dancing. Specifically, Chris's character does the whole dance, and that's similar to Hamilton. Also Newsies as well.
Someone gets shot.
Yeah.
True.
All right, Brandon, what else do you have for connections?
Throw away those shots.
Yeah, so obviously Steve Martin is in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, with which we covered earlier this year. Really good soundtrack, actually. So we've talked about how a lot of the movies we cover have really good soundtracks, like Top Gun or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where certain musical numbers played on a jukebox or musical instrument make those people dance, and that's what happens.
Like Bad Times at the El Royale as well.
Yeah, or Bad Times at the El Royale. Yeah, and so that.
I also wrote down very key scenes happening in bathrooms. So we had that in Top Gun as well, and in I just wrote down AH in my notes. What is AH?
Alexander Hamilton.
No, it's on After Hours. As well.
Things happen after hours. After
Alexander Hamilton. there's also a lot of phone and payphone shenanigans in that movie, and there is in this movie as well.
That movie also, just like The Crazy Night, that goes back to After Hours and Go and Bad Times at El Royale. Connecting back to Go as well, the eviction, the rent being too damn high. That was a plot line in Go as well. I have a couple more too, Brendan. I don't know if you have any other ones written down.
No, go for it.
All right. Venice, I think, was the place where Point Break took place as well.
The beach,
At the beach. Parker Posey showing up again. So she was also waiting for Guffman. She was in Columbus that we brought up earlier. And now she's in this. This is her third time showing up on the podcast. Inappropriate office behavior between Philip and Catherine. We had inappropriate work. Yeah. We had like a whole month of movies that was like inappropriate workplace sexual things going on back in November. Inept cops ties to Home Alone.
I mean, it's literally like every movie with cops, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Any movie we've done that takes place in LA, so The Doors and Collateral both have LA beach scenes. Or at least you're set in LA, so he is Set It Off.
Yep.
So,
Covering Up a Murder, I put down as well, which could be Reservoir Dogs, Fargo, some of our early movies. And then finally, the movie ends in a chase, which it reminded me of After Hours as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and I'm sure you could probably find connections to My Cousin Vinny and Sliding Doors in terms of being rom-coms from the early 90s. So. Mm-hmm. Have you seen either of those, Jess? I know you're a big 90s fan. Have you seen have you seen Sliding Doors or My Cousin Vinny?
I have not seen either one of those, but I've heard of My Cousin Vinny. I have not heard of Sliding Doors, although I'm seeing who's in it now, and I'm surprised I haven't seen this. I'm a big fan of 90s. I am especially a fan. I see of High Fidelity on here. I'm a big John Cusack fan.
Yeah.
I love him.
Sounds a good movie.
All right. Well, shall we move on to our connections for next week? I think that's everything with Mixed Nuts. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go through our listener connections, and then each of us will bring a connection, and then we'll pick a movie. Each of us will pick one movie to move on to the finals, and then we'll pick that final movie. Once we do pick our movie for next week, be sure to send us your feedback, star rating, and next movie connection to @LadderMovie on Twitter, themovieladder@gmail.com. And just as a reminder, we do put all of these movies into our Letterboxd watch list. So if you're looking for something to watch, go to our Letterboxd account @LadderMovie, check out the watch list. You can see everything that's been suggested. And we will be pulling from that next week. So whatever movie we actually pick next week, we will be pulling from listener suggestions, either movies suggestions that come in next week or things that are on the watch list for our season 2 premiere episode to kick off 2021. So we'll have to figure out what that is. So Brennan and I are off the hook next week. We don't have to bring in connections.
Absolutely.
Or I guess we do, but we don't have to come up with them on our own. We just have to bring in connections off the watch list. So, all right. So Jeff writes in, once again, he suggests Young Frankenstein. Suggested that a lot. And also Blazing Saddles, both at Madeline Kahn.
What?
Will loves Young Frankenstein.
Well, I made her watch it and she hated it.
I hated it.
So I've still never seen it, and Jeff has brought it up. I don't have a count of how many times it's come up on the list, but probably 20 out of 51 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Oh, it's been more than that. It's been maybe 35 out of 51
week
weeks.
Every week it sounds like.
Madeline Kahn, easy connection. Yep.
1 week we will do it, I promise, Jeff. And then the other one he suggested was Sleepless in Seattle for Nora Ephron. Or Ephron? Is it Ephron? I think it's Ephron.
I think it's Ephron.
Yeah. All right, Kyle's connection, Carol, another love story that happens over the Christmas holiday with mental health as a plot point. It is spectacular and be a great choice to stay in the holiday spirit, except the next week will be after Christmas. So, he also suggested California with a K. Juliette Lewis's movie from 1993. It's his favorite role of hers. And he said Christmas Vacation could have been a more obvious connection here with Juliette Lewis, but too bad.
Yep.
California is a highly underrated early 90s thriller with stellar performances from both Lewis and Pitt. It also has a strong tie to Bad Times at the El Royale, too, which I will let you discover if you choose it. Ooh, I do like the connecting to both. Kyle is stepping on Jeff's toes and says Young Frankenstein, Madeline Kahn. Said he loves this movie. Hope someday we cover it. Maybe we will. Molly sent in the Hudsucker Proxy. I'm recommending this again for multiple connections. A weird comedy that takes place in an office workplace. Mm. Suicide attempts from the top of a building. An elevator plays a big role in both. Also, part of the movie takes place on New Year's Eve, which would be great timing. Oh, I like that thought. And it's a Coen Brothers movie, so you could begin and end the year with a Coen Brothers movie. That would make the latter a wheel.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, goodness. No.
Wow, he's hitting all the points.
Which movie was
ruining
that?
My plans.
That is the Hudsucker Proxy.
I've never seen it, but that sounds really fun.
Yeah. It's a Coen Brothers one. I have not seen it either. So, all right. Olin sent in three. Oh, look at this. Olin sent in two from Mel Brooks. One is High Anxiety from 97. Madeline Kahn in a film with people trying to deal with mental health issues. Mel Brooks parody of a Hitchcock. So it could be a strong link to round off the year. Mm-hmm. He also suggests Young Frankenstein.
Oh, my God.
Third person. Madeline Kahn in a group of odd people getting into hijinks. And then finally, Olin said, Clue, Madeline Kahn in a film involving a group of people in a dwelling with one having committed a major criminal act.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We saw that coming.
Yeah.
So those are our listener suggestions. So our guests get to go first. Will, why don't you go first since Jess went first with her reading?
One stole one of mine. And,
Clue was his obvious
it's
pick.
Another one where it's one crazy night. They're carrying around dead body. Mm-hmm. Someone gets shot through a door, and Madeline Kahn. So there's a lot of connections there. I have also down here. I have a Steve Martin movie here. Where at one point he's living in L.A. as well in The Jerk, probably one of my favorite Steve Martin movies.
The classic, yes.
Not as many connections as Clue like come to mind, but it's connected. He's in it. And then the other connection I have, another movie that takes place in Los Angeles. It's connected via the title. Mixed Nuts. It's the Nutty Professor.
Is the Eddie Murphy version?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Jokes that don't age well, I would imagine. There are a lot
of them. Wow. They're probably filled with them.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy also on the mind because of the Coming to America sequel coming out soon.
The Fast and Furious naming convention is coming to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else on your list, Will?
I'm all through my options here, so I guess Jess, you're up.
So only one of mine was stolen by a listener, which was Sleepless in Seattle, because Rita Wilson's in it and it's directed by Nora Ephron. So chalk pick, rom-com, obvious pick for me. I know you said you're not really into Christmas movies, but another Rita Wilson Christmas movie is Jingle All the Way, which I just watched, and let me tell you, that 90s movie ages spectacularly. It is still hilarious.
It I watched that last year, and that's on my top 10 Christmas movies list. I love Jingle All the Way.
It's so good. There's so much to laugh at.
People should watch it, because it's just like super fresh.
It's quotable. It's silly. Yeah, it's great.
Put the cookie down.
Yeah, put the cookie down. Yeah.
Also, there is an Arnold Schwarzenegger name drop in Mixed Nuts as well.
Oh, there you go. See? It connects even more.
Bam.
Boom. Done it. Okay. And I have a Steve Martin movie, Cheaper by the Dozen, which, nice. Like, that movie actually is one of the Steve – he's not as Steve Martin-y as he is in a lot of other things. But yeah. I know it's a remake, but I really liked that as a child. That movie was really mm-hmm. funny for me.
Yeah.
And my other pick is Weekend at Bernie's. They disguise a dead guy. Nuff said. That's pretty much the major connection there. That's really all there needs to be.
I do think I saw Weekend at Bernie's come up as there might be a cast connection to that, because I did see that come up when I was looking for connections.
Could be. Mm.
But I don't remember who was in it. Also, Rob Reiner is in The Jerk as well, just to give it another connection.
There we go.
There we go.
All right. See, Brendan, right. You want to go next?
So I will start with. So I really do like Steve Martin. I'm a really big Steve Martin fan. I'm going to go with my most rewatchable Steve Martin movie as my first connection, which is Three Amigos, which is just incredible. It's him, Chevy Chase, Martin Short. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Could you do like a Survivor connection between the Three Amigos and Jonathan LaPaglia and Anthony LaPaglia?
I bet we could figure it out if we go with that. I bet we can figure out a way. And then I thought about Rob Reiner cameos in much better films. And so I thought about his cameo in Wolf of Wall Street as Leo's dad. So I wanted to re-put Wolf of Wall Street. And then I also thought about Anthony LaPaglia in a supporting role in a rom-com involving serial murders. And so naturally I thought of So I Married an Axe Murderer. With Mike Myers instead of Adam Sandler as the titular SNL alum. So I Married an Axe Murderer is my third connection.
Very nice.
What you got, right. Zach?
All right, let's see. So some of mine have been called already. So Clue I had on my list. I'll take that one off. And actually, that's the only one that's been taken. So the first is a movie that I've never seen, but it's supposed to be really good. It is a movie about a landlord. And it stars, it has Robert Klein in it, who played the, guy that ends up with Mrs. Munchkin at the end of the movie. And it is, directed by Hal Ashby. So it'll be our second Hal Ashby movie as well. That is The Landlord, is the name of that movie. So my brother recommended this to me a few months ago, and I never got around to watching it. The next is a movie with Steve Martin in it, and it came out around the same time. It's a very underseen Steve Martin movie. I think people talk about it. It's got Steve Martin and Rick Moranis in it, and I remember thinking it's very funny. And that is My Blue Heaven. So it is about a guy who was in the mafia who goes into witness protection. So My Blue Heaven, I will add.
I love My Blue Heaven. It's basically a mirror movie to Goodfellas, if Goodfellas was a comedy.
Oh. Yeah, I was just thinking of that when you described it.
Yes. Then let's see. So I got a couple more on my list. So Clue was taken already. I'm not going to suggest Trapped in Paradise because I don't really think it's a great connection, but I do think Trapped in Paradise is very funny from around the same time period with some SNL people. So people should watch that. So I will do Analyze This as well as a comedy that has a mental health aspect to it. And I believe there was a cast connection as well, but I'm not seeing who it was right now. And finally, I will do. So I've never seen this movie. I don't know if this will be a connection. Is Gosford Park have them trying to hide a dead body, Brendan?
I don't know. I haven't seen Gosford Park. Oh. So
I haven't seen it either, and it's been on my watch list, and I was trying to get it in there. I don't think it really fits. So I'll go with Coneheads as my next.
SNL movies?
Right. Yeah, well, and there's some people who are in both. I think Juliette Lewis is in both.
It's been so long.
That's an SNL connection right there.
Yeah. Yes, Coneheads. I don't know if I really am jazzed to watch Coneheads. Oh, also, did you guys know Haley Joel Osment was in Mixed Nuts? I didn't see him, but I saw him.
Did see him? Supposedly, yeah. He's a kid in the crowd.
He yells at one point. Yes, I did see him. I didn't say anything, but I saw him. He was really little.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did not notice.
I noticed him yelling at something, but.
Yeah, it's like 3 years before Sixth Sense, so no.
But
he looked the same. I mean, the guy still looks the same.
Well, because he was the little kid in Forrest Gump as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
Oh, you guys should watch Forrest Gump. Is there a connection?
Forrest Gump the same year?
Yeah, Forrest Gump was 94,
right?
Oh, yeah, Forrest Gump was 94.
Rita Wilson's husband.
Right. Yes, Tom Hanks, yeah. Rita Wilson.
Tom Hanks, there you go.
Close enough. Forrest Gump. Suggestive.
There you go.
Yeah. So, Adam Sandler and Parker Posey are both in Coneheads. I knew I'd do but that was the connection. It's actually quite lots of, oh, wow, this is quite the cast in Coneheads. So, another movie with a very good cast that I think people don't really like. So, all right. So let's go through what our connections that were suggested were, and then each of us will pick one movie to advance to the finals. It cannot be a movie that you suggested. So it could be anybody else's suggestion, but it cannot be yours. So we had Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, Sleeps in Seattle, Carol, California, Young Frankenstein again, Hudsucker Proxy, High Anxiety, Clue, Young Frankenstein again, Clue again, The Jerk, The Nutty Professor, Sleeps in Seattle again, Jingle All the Way, Cheaper by the Dozen, Weekend at Bernie's, The Three Amigos, Wolf of Wall Street, So I Married an Axe Murderer, The Landlord, My Blue Heaven, Analyze This, and Coneheads. So, who went last? Did I went last? So I get to pick first.
Picking first.
There's a lot of ones to pick from. I'm going to pick California because I've never seen it. And I'm curious about the tie to Bad Times of the El Royale and also Brad Pitt in it as well, which would get us to another all-star of the Movie Ladder podcast.
Interesting.
So, Brendan, you get to go next.
I think the best way to end the year, and I feel like I owe this listener a lot. He's been with us from day one. I think the best way to end the year is to finish the year by having our 52nd movie be his movie. And I think we choose Young Frankenstein.
So, of course, you're talking about Kyle, our listener.
Of course. Of course I'm talking about Kyle.
There's no other listener who's been with us since day one.
Of course I'm talking about Kyle.
Yeah.
Come on. Sorry, Jeff.
Not where I thought you were going until you started talking about it. So, yes, Young Frankenstein. I do think Young Frankenstein is the first movie to be suggested three times. Like in the same episode.
Yeah.
Ah, look at and that. It,
yeah.
All right. So who was before you? That was
I went first.
Jess.
Oh yeah, I'll go.
You go next.
So I'll pick this movie. I don't particularly enjoy this movie, but I know a lot of people do, and I do think there are like a ton of connections to be made. So I'll pick Clue, even though it's not my favorite movie. Will really loves it.
It's
Av, who used to be the co-host, hates Clue. And we always, to start the podcast, we actually tried to get Clue on a bunch of times and we were never able to.
I don't understand the joke, the flames on the side of my face thing. I just don't get it.
It's just ridiculous.
I just don't get it.
She's just like exasperated and she can't even.
Is that Mrs. Munchnick that says it?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. That's what
she's
I thought.
Mrs. White.
Okay. Well, I've seen the movie once.
Yeah.
I love the game. So there you go. Another reason to pick it.
Yes.
All right, Will. Let's start with our fourth for the final four.
I'm going to go with something that Jess suggested, actually, and go with Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Weekend at Bernie's. Yes.
I've personally never seen it. I always wanted to.
Yeah, I've actually never seen that either. So the only one of these I've seen is Clue.
Yeah.
So now we have to figure out a way to pick a movie to go on that we're going to do next week between California, Young Frankenstein, Clue, and Weekend at Bernie's.
Mm.
So, now we just have to figure it. We don't really have a mechanism for this. We just debate it, basically.
Just debate until someone gives in.
Basically. Sometimes we know, and then sometimes we have to fight about it. Sometimes occasionally we go to a poll, but it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So
I mean, if you're looking for like the older movies, like Young Frankenstein is the oldest.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. It's the most requested, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Young Frankenstein is the most requested movie. Thanks to one specific listener throughout the entirety of the year of this podcast. And I think the best thing to do to honor 1 year into this podcast is to do that movie.
We don't do handouts on this podcast, though.
Shit.
Also,
Jeff, I tried.
Also, I will say that while Young Frankenstein is a good connection, it's been suggested so many times, I feel like there someday will be a better reason to watch it than just a cast connection. Yeah. Like,
that's fair.
It's not like it's, I mean, it's
someone died, kind of.
Well,
and I don't want to just keep rejecting it forever, but I also.
Oh, okay. Well, then which one is the most connected of all four?
I mean, I think either Clue or California.
Yeah. I think Clue is the most connected.
I think Clue is probably
the most. I have a bunch of connections.
All right. Well, I will say
I've never seen California either.
Me neither, but it does not look like California is streaming anywhere.
Mm. Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. For
availability is important.
Right. Yeah. Usually we check the streaming. I see you can order the DVD. let me just Google it and see. Because I actually would like to watch California, but if we can't stream anywhere, then nobody's going to want to watch it.
Streaming services do not love Christian Slater films. Between this and Pump Up the Volume. It's really hard.
Clue's available on Prime Video, looks like.
Yeah, Clue's a little bit more available.
Available.
And if Weekend at Bernie's had a stronger connection, I would say Weekend at Bernie's as well. But I do think...
Yeah.
What's a bigger connection? I don't know it.
You gotta pretend carry around the dead body.
They do carry around a dead body.
Dude, I'm always happy to rewatch Clue. I love Clue. So,
what about? Can I switch?
Technically, young Frankenstein is a dead body too.
It's true. I kind of want to switch mine to Hudsucker Proxy because I love the idea of coming full circle with Hudsucker Proxy. And had I seen that California wasn't streaming, I might not have picked it. But I don't want to break the ladder rules, so we also get to do Clue.
Yeah.
Why don't we do Clue? Clue came up a bunch in our first episodes.
I was excited.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Clue. Everybody's seen Clue before, so it'll be a rewatch for everybody.
And it connects to. Oh wait, which Home Alone did you watch? One.
Just one.
Never mind then. Doesn't connect to Home Alone. Well, if it does, then I was thinking of the guy that's the butler.
Oh, yeah, Tim Curry.
Yeah, he's in it.
Yep,
he's in Home Alone too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I was thinking. He's so funny in Home Alone too.
He's funny.
He really is. Yeah. He's funny.
Right. We're doing Clue next week. Yeah. You give the thumbs up on Clue.
Yeah, it's fine with me. I love that movie. I've seen it a million times. Yeah.
Young Frankenstein, we will pick. I just think it. We need like
Jeff.
I love Young Frankenstein.
Or Jeff. Jeff is unsubscribed from the podcast. He's like, even Brendan came to my defense.
He's like,
someday we will have a better reason to watch Young Frankenstein.
Zach is no longer my friend.
He's out.
We'll get to it. Okay, we got a whole second season. We got renewed for a second season, so you know.
Jeff, please don't give up. Please write in with the connection from Clue to Young Frankenstein, and maybe that's our first
movie.
I'm
sure there is one.
I mean, it's Madeline Kahn.
Madeline Kahn.
She's in everything.
Yeah.
All right. So next week's gonna be a little bit different. Next week is only listener connections. Brennan and I will bring connections off of Clue, but we have to pick them from movies that were suggested by listeners during the year. Yep. So we'll look back through the watch list. The thing, Brennan, you and I will have to do is make sure that when we see things on the watch list, that they were not things that you and I suggested. So we'll have to do a little bit of research on our connections that we find. And then the listeners will suggest too. And are we saying that the movie to start 2021 has to be connected to Clue, or can it just be any people?
It has to be any listener suggestion. I mean, obviously it's going to be because they're giving us suggestions off of this. So it's going to be connected.
Okay. So listeners are going to send in connections off of Clue. We are going to pick connections just in general that listeners sent in. And then those listener suggestions from Clue and also listener suggestions we come together with will be what we pick. So, the first movie of 2021 may or may not be connected to Clue.
Correct.
Okay.
But preferably will be, but is going to be a fresh start.
Right. It'll be a fresh start, so we will not connect that movie back to any previous movies from 2020. Correct. So we'll be talking about, like, you know, if we do Home Alone 2 because Tim Curry, we will not be talking about how it connects to Home Alone 1 because it'll be a new season, fresh start.
Yeah. It's going to be a...
All right, that sounds like a lot of rules, but I think that makes a lot of sense.
Tabula rasa.
Yes, tabula rasa, exactly. We also will be closing out the year with a 2020 recap podcast, which we'll just talk about some of our best connections, stats. Letterboxd does a really nice stats wrap-up, so we'll be able to get our stats on, like, what actor and director did we watch the most this year, and what movie did we rate the highest, what did we rate the lowest. So we'll have some good stats.
I feel like down to be some surprises in that too.
Yeah. So we were probably recording that on New Year's Eve, I think, is the plan, but sometime close to New Year's Eve. So we'll get double podcast again next week.
So. Yep.
All right. Yeah. Well, Clue, you said, is streaming on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
And connection is A Dead Body, Madeline Kahn. I don't know if there were any other connections. A bunch of people coming together.
Someone gets shot through the door.
Hiding a dead body.
Yes.
They're carrying around dead bodies. Yeah.
So for anybody, it's their first time watching it. We're excited. And Av, hopefully you like it better this time than the last time that you watched it. And we'll be back to talk about that next week. All right. So we like to close out this podcast kind of how we open the podcast. What are you guys planning to watch this week? What's one thing you're planning to watch this week?
Probably let me think.
Couple more Christmas.
We're definitely movies. Yeah, we're due to watch Elf. We have not watched Elf yet this Christmas season, so that's on the list.
Elf is up next on the wheel, on the Christmas wheel.
Okay.
Bad Moms Christmas.
Yes, we just watched Bad Moms, so now we have to watch Bad Moms Christmas.
So you're doing a ladder.
I had never. Well, I saw there was a Bad Moms Christmas, and I was like, "Ooh, what's this?" And Will's like, "Oh, you have to watch Bad Moms first." And I was like, "I didn't even know there was a movie called Bad Moms." So
yeah,
I'm in.
It is funny.
I like funny female casts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, those are kind of what's up.
It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brendan, how about you? What are you gonna watch this week?
Yeah, so I started a couple of things with my mom because I'm home for Christmas. So we started A Teacher, which she really likes, and I'm not as
I like it.
High on. But it's a really well-done show. It's not necessarily my jam with Rooney Mara, and it's fine. But I started The Flight Attendant, she tried to watch a couple of episodes, and there's some unfortunate flashes of goriness in the first few episodes of that show that she was just like, I'm out. So, but I'm going to keep going with that. So I'm really liking The Flight Attendant right now. So I'm excited to watch the first episode, first season of that while I'm home.
So. I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Yeah, it's really good.
I will warn you about watching A Teacher with your mom. There's going to be some awkward scenes.
I'm going to tell her that, we're two episodes in, and I'm going to tell her this is actually definitely your show and not my show.
Yeah.
It's good. I like that show. It's a nice use of the 30-minute format. It addresses an issue that hasn't been on screen before. Mm-hmm. Performances are good, and you get to see some fun characters from other shows show up.
For sure. So,
I'll suggest they did the sketch on that on SNL this past week.
You should
definitely check that out.
I need to. SNL is what I need. I need to watch that. That's not what I'm planning to watch this week, but that is on my list to watch.
Yeah, that sketch specifically, I think it's really great.
Nice. All right, so for me, I last watched Ocean's 13 on my personal movie ladder, and although I wanted to make Tenet my connection, I just don't think that's strong enough. I think Tenet I just watched separately. So I do think I'm going to watch Dog Day Afternoon finally, which has been on my watch list for a long time. But Al Pacino in a heist movie I think is a strong enough connection.
It's a really great movie.
I've never seen it, so I'm excited to check that out. I think that was one of the ones that was on that was suggested by somebody on this podcast. So
yeah.
We'll not be doing that in 2 weeks. But I'm excited to watch that one. It's gonna be fun. So that's what's up for me.
So. Nice.
All right, Jess and Will, thank you guys again for coming on. Jess, I know you have a million podcasts. What are you podcasting about?
All of the podcasts.
Okay, I have two podcasts. Podcasting Weekly with Josh Wigler on community building. We're actually coming up on our last podcast for 2020 this week. So.
Yes,
really unless we get 1,000 patrons.
What is community building for those less
interested? Yeah, for those that don't know, community building, Josh has never seen the show Community, which is a travesty, and I harassed him on Twitter enough to where he agreed to do a patron-only podcast where I hand-select the best of what Community has to offer, and we watch those episodes with various guests to build our community. This week we're watching the puppet episode, Intro to Felt Surrogacy. I hate this episode. It's my least favorite episode of Community, but it should be fun to chat about.
Yeah.
And Shit 90s Shows Taught Me. That's the podcast I co-host with my friend Sarah Ferguson. Weekly we talk about Boy Meets World. We're ending season one pretty soon. Next couple weeks we'll be done with it. And we usually have some bonus content. We've had a lot of Christmas content this month, so check us out at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter.
Yeah. Didn't you just do Jingle All the Way on that podcast?
We did. Yes. We did, which is why I recommended it to you guys, because we had so much fun watching that movie. We just did Jingle All the Way.
Sarah and Josh Wigler had a great time.
Yeah, I've been catching up on those. The Jingle All the Way episode was great. The Rugrats episode with Mike was really fantastic. I have the Hey Arnold episode downloaded. I'm excited to listen to that.
Yeah, we're a big fan of 90s content over there.
Do you get a bad search engine optimization having shit in your title?
Actually, you'd think, but no. It turns out that it's pretty, although I do list all of our episodes as explicit, even though, I mean, we swear occasionally, but we're not like sailors by any means. I know, but it's just like, because that's in our title, I feel like obligated. But no, it's actually not too bad. It just, the title happened naturally. What else are we going to
Should we be like the goddamn movie ladder next year?
Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, so 2021, it's going to be the roaring 20s starting this year. So.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be partying and vaccinated and making out. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
But are their eyes open or closed?
Okay.
Oh, good question.
If you're making out, your eyes should be closed. It's creepy if you're making out and they're open. That's too much.
Yeah. The people who skipped ahead to the ladder will have no idea what that is about.
Wow.
They're going to have to listen back now.
Yeah, exactly. And Will, do you have any podcasts or what do you do?
If you like me, I appeared on both of her podcasts.
Yeah. I'm at its finest, people.
Yeah. If you marry a podcast host, you get to go on their podcast.
Yeah. He talked about the Chicken Fingers episode of Community.
Yeah. True. Contemporary American Poultry, a spoof of Goodfellas there.
Yeah.
Let's check it
marry
out.
Marry a podcast host in 2021. I think we can carry that on to the new year as well.
Yeah.
Bill is also prolific in the Post Show Recaps Discord playing the Among Us. He's also really good.
They don't pay us for those kind of plugs.
Yeah. Well, you're right. They don't pay me for these plugs. What am I doing?
All right, Jessica, where can people follow you?
I'm at TheJessSterling on Twitter.
I'm at Will Apperty on Twitter.
I'm going to have to spell that out for people.
Yeah, it's AFFOURTIT and Will at the front.
It's in the description of the podcast.
There you go, if you want to click it.
Yeah.
And how about you, Mr. Fitzpatrick?
So you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at FitzyBrendan. Yeah, that's about it.
You can follow me at BrooksZA. I don't have any other podcasts going on that I know of. Maybe the Bond podcast comes back this week. It does not.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I've talked to Mac. He's busy being a dad. He can't ever podcast with me.
Dad problems.
I've watched the movies. I just need to podcast about them.
People with their lame kids. How dare you?
Yeah, right?
Maybe someday the digesting podcast will come back, but we got to wait for the right show. I don't think digesting a teacher would be a good podcast title.
Oh, no. Yikes. All right, and with that, we are out. Thank you, everybody. Happy New Year.
All right, have a good Christmas if you celebrate it. If not, enjoy all the sports on TV and watch some movies. The digesting thing is because I have Digesting Dark and Digesting Fargo, so my brother and I do digesting whatever show, and so, you know, we joked about if we did Digesting a Teacher. He also texted me, and he said, the other day he texted me, and he goes, yeah. Turner and Hooch show? Who is this for? And I said, digesting Turner and Hooch? Question mark.
Digesting Hooch.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm there for it.
A teacher sounds like a very simple explanation of like Magic School Bus episode.
It's weird that the A. I don't know if it's supposed to be like A, like the grade is A. I don't think so though. I think it's just supposed to be like
It's a double entendre.
Yeah. Like, she's not just the teacher. She's just a teacher. She's one
of... She's also an easy A.
Yeah. Hey, you don't know that yet. You haven't seen that. All right. We've gone off the rails. So we'll see you next week for Clue. It's streaming on Amazon Prime. Lots of connections. And enjoy your holidays if you celebrate.
You're Mr. Buddy.
For she's a jolly good fellow. For she's a jolly good fellow. For she's a jolly good fellow. Which nobody can deny, which nobody can deny, which nobody can deny, for she's a jolly good fellow, for she's a jolly good fellow.